Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
I want you to know this year, it's time to take some territory. This year, things that where the devil's been keeping you out, you're going to cross over. You're going to cross over your Jordan. The walls of Jericho are coming down. You're going to take some territory. It might be territory financially. It might be territory in your marriage. It might be territory mentally. It might be territory emotionally. It might be territory physically. But I'm telling you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's what my Bible says. My Bible says that if God is for you, who or what can be against you? My Bible says that God leads you beside still waters. My God says He makes you lie down in green pastures. My Bible says that He restoreth your soul. So I want you to get ready. I want you to know that it's God's will for you to take territory. So here's a beautiful, beautiful passage of Scripture. It's a very powerful picture. I like the Bible because the Bible is words that God uses to paint powerful pictures. So David has just been anointed king. He's 30 years of age. He's finally become king. 13 years wandering in the wilderness, hiding from King Saul and Saul's assassins. Saul is now dead. There's a coronation. They've anointed David to be king. And so Jerusalem is the place that he is about to set up. But right now the Jebusites are the inhabitants. If you do a study on Jebusites, you will find that they are also giants. That they're also descendants of the Nephilim. They're also a giant race. And the first thing that I need you to understand that you need to overcome is you have to overcome the enemy's voice. Number one, you have to learn to overcome the enemy's voice. I found that the greatest battle against my enemy begins with my inner me. I found that the greatest battle against my enemy always begins with my inner me. Nobody can defeat me like my inner me. Nobody can disqualify me like my inner me. I live with me. I'm aware of me. I'm aware of my failures. I'm aware of my weaknesses. I'm aware of my struggles. And it's amazing. I never have to go too far to find or hear an amen for my disqualifications. The devil's always very, very quick. In fact, not only does he amen my weaknesses, not only does he amen my struggles, not only does he amen my disqualifications, but he doesn't leave it there. He actually prophesies into them. Wow. He wants me to look at my future and he wants to look at my destiny through the lens of my weakness. And yet God, when he comes to the Apostle Paul, says, son, I don't want you to hide your weakness because my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Where you are weak, there I am strong. Where you are strong, you don't need me. And therefore, there's a ceiling over your life. But when you come to a place of humility where you recognize you're weak, and if you humble yourself there, my strength can flow through you. So I find that the enemy, the voice of the devil, and it's interesting because the Jebusites said to David, you shall not come in here. How many people know that the devil is a liar? When we came to San Diego, and you've all heard the story, the first thing the devil said to me is, you are going to utterly fail. You should have stayed in Australia. Nobody knows you here. I'm like, my gosh. No one flipping knows me here. He's like, no one's going to come to your church. How are people going to come? I'm like, how are people going to come to my church? And he's like, not only that, all the money you put on your mortgage is going to be gone. Oh, my gosh, the money's gone. He goes, you're going to go back to Australia humiliated. I'm going to get back to Australia humiliated. And he's like, you should have stayed in Australia. And then he said to me, you've got no anointing. I'm like, I don't have an anointing. It's no. This is the only reason you build a youth group over 1,000 in Sydney is because you are under Phil Pringle. That was his anointing. I'm like, oh my gosh, it makes sense. That was Pastor Phil's anointing because I was under his authority. Oh, now what all the pieces, oh my
thank you, little Lucy. You're my only real friend. And
the Holy Spirit had to interrupt me. He's like, yeah, because I'm like, hang on, I'm
making friends here with, you know, go on, Lucy, what else can't I do?
And the Holy Spirit's tapping me. He's like, no, Jurgs, the devil's a liar. I'm like, what? I'm like, hang on, that's right. It says in the Bible, you're a liar, you scout. God says, I haven't sent you here to fail. I haven't sent you here to fail. But you'll find again and again and again that the voice of the enemy is the voice to try and disqualify you. He'll list 100 reasons why God can't use you, why God can't work through you, why God doesn't have a plan, why the person next to you has a future, the person behind you has it, but you don't have a future, why the person in front of you, they can have a breakthrough, but you can't have a break. The devil is a liar. Now listen, you have to learn how to overcome. You have to learn how to shut down the voice of the enemy. So let me just show you two quick scriptures. In Joshua 15, verse 63, Joshua 15, verse 63, if we can throw that one up on the screen, I want to show you something. This is what it says, speaking about the Jebus. Your sights. I want you to notice it says that Judah could not drive out the Jebusites. Judah could not drive out the Jebusites. Can you see that up there? As for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. Does anybody know what the name Judah means? Praise. So the Jebusites could not be driven out by praise. Now you need to understand, in this church, we're all about praise. The Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. The Bible says that the praises of the Israelites brought down the walls of Jericho. Yet when it comes to silencing the Jebusites, the Bible says that praise could not drive them out. I found that I can be in a praise service. I can be jumping up and down here, praising God. And right here, I feel invincible. Right here, I feel like I can conquer. But as soon as I get out into my car, as soon as my head hits the pillow at night, that same voice of the enemy comes to me. And all the praise that I did here could not drive that out. The second verse I want you to look at is in Judges chapter 1, verse 21. And it talks about the tribe of Benjamin. Have a look. It says, but the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites. Does anybody know what the word Benjamin means? Son of my right hand. Son of my right hand is authority. So the Bible says the Benjamites who had authority did not. So authority can't be met with apathy. So what I found is that I've been given authority over the enemy, yet if I'm apathetic, if I'm lazy, if I'm unengaged, the voice of the enemy will grind away. So therefore, the only way I can silence the enemy is I have to learn how Jesus dealt with the devil. Before Jesus started his ministry, before he did one miracle, all he's done is he's gotten baptized by John. He comes up out of the Jordan, and immediately the Spirit drives him into the wilderness where he's tempted and tested by the devil. And the first temptation of the devil is, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And Jesus turns to the devil and said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. I found that the only way to silence the accusation, silence the taunting of the devil, silence the lies of the devil is I have to overlay it with the word of God. I have to overcome it with what God said. Whenever the devil says, you're going to fail in San Diego, I have to remind him God did not call us here to fail. When the devil said to me, and correctly so, he said, you weren't God's first choice for San Diego. I know that I'm not God's first choice. In fact, devil, I know that I'm not God's second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. I know I'm probably not his 46th choice. I may not even be his 100th choice for San Diego. But for whatever reason, I've made a decision. I'm going to live my life to be his final choice for San Diego. I don't want God to look at me and go, oh, We need to look for somebody else because he won't do all that's in my heart. The Bible says that David did all that was in God's heart for Israel. God is looking for, and I made a decision. I may not have been God's first, fifth, or 50th choice, but I'm making a decision. I want to live my life so I'm God's final choice, that whatever is in his heart, he won't need to look to another. He won't need to look for another man or another woman, another servant, another one who'd be obedient to do all that is in his heart for the city of San Diego. But the devil is a liar, and you have to learn, how to overcome the lies and the tauntings of the devil. And the only solution is you got to go to it is written. That's why the devil wants to raise a biblically illiterate generation. If you don't know your Bible, you are easy for the devil to manipulate. You are easy for the devil to shut down. You are easy for the devil to disqualify. You are easy pickings for the devil. But God forbid that we should raise a generation that doesn't know the Bible. I'm telling you, the reason we have My City Youth, the reason we have junior high camps is because we're raising an army of young men and young women that understand that this is not just a book of history, but it is the sword of the Spirit. That when this word is in their mouth, it is as powerful as the word of God in God's mouth. And when it goes forth, it always accomplishes. It never returns void. It always accomplishes that for which it was sent out. That when they release the word from their lips, that the power of God watches over his word to perform it. If you want to terrify the devil and take territory, you got to learn to speak the word of God. It has to leave the pages of your Bible and has to come into your spirit. And once it's in your spirit, speak it out of your mouth. Speak it out of your mouth. And that's power. Second one, that's number one. Number two is what I call nevertheless. Nevertheless. The Bible says, they said to David, you shall not come up here. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold. In other words, don't let the devil define your territory. Can I just tell you, the Holy Spirit is a nevertheless spirit. The Holy Spirit is a nevertheless spirit. All the way through the Bible, you will find nevertheless. They told us when we came to San Diego, whatever you do, don't be spirit-filled. If you want to be a big church in San Diego, don't be spirit-filled. The biggest spirit-filled church in San Diego back then, 12 years ago, was 300 people. Nevertheless. We know that God didn't send us from Sydney to San Diego to give San Diego what they already got. We know what they needed is a church that's fresh, real, powerful. We know they needed a church where the power of the Holy Ghost could flow, where people could get baptized in the Holy Spirit, where people could speak in languages they've never learned, where they can speak in the tongues of men and of angels, where people could prophesy, people shooting arrows into a day not yet, where sons and daughters could prophesy, young men see visions, old men dream dreams. I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. We want a Holy Ghost church. We want people walking in diagnosed with terminal diseases and the power of God come on them, they get healed. So we just made a decision. We're going to walk in the Holy Spirit because he's a nevertheless. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold. Nevertheless. Sometimes you just got to get some nevertheless on you. I like the disciples. They're in the boat with Jesus, and Jesus is, you know, finished preaching, and he says to Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. And Simon says, Master, you're a carpenter. We're fishermen. We fished all night when it was dark, and you throw the net, and they can't see the net. It's daytime. When we throw the net, the fish see it scamper. But Simon Peter says, nevertheless. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. There's something about nevertheless. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says that he fell to his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane literally means oil press. It's a place where they take the olive and they crush the olive to extract the oil they use for the anointing. Jesus is in Gethsemane. He's in the oil press and he's pressed. He's being crushed. He's being pressed. And he's under such duress. He's under such pressure. The Bible says that he's literally sweating drops of blood. And the Bible says that he looks in front of him and he sees a tree. And the tree you and I know is the cross. And then he lifts his eyes and he prays to the Father. He says, Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass by without me drinking it, please. He's looking at that because thousands of years earlier, the first Adam stood in a garden. His garden was Eden, which means paradise. And the Bible says when he looked at a tree, he saw the fruit, that it was pleasant to the eyes, able to make one wise, good for food. God said to him, of all the trees of the garden, you may freely eat, but not that tree. It's not free. The price tag is too great for you. It'll kill you. Don't touch it. But Adam took what wasn't free freely. He reached out his hand and he took from the tree. Fast forward thousands of years later, the second Adam, or the last Adam, as the Apostle Paul likes to call him, is looking at a tree, but instead of reaching out to take fruit, there's no fruit on this tree. Instead of seeing a beautiful tree covered in leaves and foliage, it's just bare, it's just dead. It's two dead branches. Adam's tree was alive, this tree is dead. Adam reached out and took. This second Adam, or final Adam, has to reach out and give. The first Adam, when he reached out and took the fruit, literally was making a statement to God, not thy will, my will be done. Not thy will, my will be done. And he took and he ate. Now the second Adam is in a garden called Gethsemane, oil press, looking at a tree that is dead without foliage. And he has to reach out his hand and he prays and he says, Father, if it's possible for this cup to pass by without me drinking it, please. And then he says, nevertheless, nevertheless, remembering Adam, nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. And then he set his face like flint to Jerusalem. It was a nevertheless spirit that saved the world. The first Adam reached out and took. The second Adam reached out and gave. You may say, well, where's the fruit? Jesus is the fruit. How do you know Jesus is the fruit? That's a weird thing to say. The definition of fruit is anything that hangeth on a tree. That which, and Jesus hung on a tree, and all who partake of him have everlasting life. It's a nevertheless spirit. This is beautiful, Rena. Stand up, Rena. This is beautiful, Rena. I've known Rena since she was 16 years of age. She was in my youth group. She was in James Cook High School. She was one of our awesome youth leaders. She's from a nation known as New Zealand. New Zealand's a tiny little nation, rugby capital of the world. But it's also famous for a particular beekeeper. Yes, that's the look I was hoping for. Many, many years ago, they said that Mount Everest was... you can sit down. They said that Mount Everest was impossible to climb. They said the altitude, the atmosphere, the air was so thin. It's impossible for a human being to climb Mount Everest. Many people had attempted. Many people had failed. Some fatally failed. But a beekeeper from New Zealand, known as Sir Edmund Hillary, decided, I've heard the experts, I've read the science reports, and I've even read the tragedies. Nevertheless, the first man ever to stand on the summit of Mount Everest, the man whose eyes saw a landscape that no other human being had ever seen before, was a beekeeper from New Zealand who just decided, the experts can say what they like. I've got a nevertheless on the inside of me. Life is too short to be hemmed in by the expert opinions of others. In 1963, at a place called Decca Record Labels, there was an audition and they said, yeah, we just need to tell you, groups of guitars is on the way out. There's nothing here for you. And they shut the door to the band that would later become known as the Beatles. The experts aren't always right. Make a decision. When I go to Empower, what I'm going to immerse myself in, what I'm going to fill myself with is a nevertheless spirit. When David walked into the valley, everybody thought this teenage boy unarmed, this teenage boy unarmored, this teenage boy vulnerable, unprotected, is walking into his certain death at the hands of an undefeated warrior champion, giant, 9'9", with an armor bearer. It's two against one, heavily armored, heavily machined, heavily outgunned, and yet David was the one that walked out the other side with the skull of Goliath, because David was under a nevertheless spirit. Life is too short to believe the lies of the devil. Life is too short to just be mediocre. Get a nevertheless spirit. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold. Nevertheless, what are you going to take this year that the experts said, that the people said, that the family members said, that the well-meaning people said, you'll never take this, you'll never do this, you'll never bust that? Nevertheless, nevertheless. Oh, I've got to move real quick. Number three. I love this. So David said this in verse 6. Now David said, whoever attacks the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. He wasn't even asking for a resume. He just said, whoever. Point number three is whoever. Do you know why I love the kingdom of God? I love the kingdom of God because it's equal opportunity kingdom. The Bible says that whoever. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus says, whoever says to this mountain, whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever believes in me, the miracles I do will even greater. Whoever. The Bible is all about whoever. It's whoever. When Jesus was walking on the water, there wasn't just one man. Anybody could have got out and walked, but only one man asked. Whoever. Whoever just dares to believe. Whoever just dares. Jesus says, whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, the door will be open. I can be a whoever. I love the Bible because I read it, I'm like, I disqualify. I grew up, my father was an atheist. I'm not that smart. I kind of mucked around at school. I got asked to leave in year 11. It wasn't good. They wrote a letter to my parents saying, if you don't remove him, we will expel him. And expel never looks good on your resume. And so I had to leave school. And I just always thought, but then I started reading the Bible, whoever. I thought, I can be a whoever. God, I qualify for a whoever. I'm telling you, God is looking for a whoever. David just said, whoever will be commander, whoever, you can be a whoever this year. You can be a whoever believes, will not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever asks, whoever knocks, whoever, just make a decision. This year I'm going to be a whoever. I'm going to be a whoever. And last one, number four, verse 7 says, then David dwelt in the stronghold. Number four is dwell in the stronghold. What do you mean by dwell in the stronghold? We've always associated stronghold with the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 to 5 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So we always put strongholds and associate it with the devil. But I got to tell you, the greatest thing you can do is build your own stronghold. The Bible says that David took Jebus, turns it into Jerusalem, and he makes it a fortified stronghold. You know what your strongholds are? It's the reinforcement of your convictions. You dwell in the reinforcement of your convictions. You make a decision. I'm going to be in church Sunday morning, and then I'm going to stick it to the door. I'm going to come back at 5 p.m. You just make a decision. I'm going to be in a connect group. You make a decision. I'm going to go through the pathway classes. You make a decision. I'm going to dwell in the stronghold. I'm going to get a stronghold on the things of God. I'm going to get a stronghold on the things of the kingdom. I'm going through connect, grow, serve, and lead. I'm going to get a stronghold. I'm going to find my place to serve. And I'm going to perfect my serve. I'm going to get a stronghold. I'm not just going to sit back in the praise and in the worship. I'm actually going to engage in the praise. The overflow of my heart, my lips are going to bring forth praise to God. Whether I'm on the mountaintop or in the valley is irrelevant. Whether it's summer or whether it's winter, whether it's fall or whether it's spring, in every season, I've made a decision. I'm going to get a stronghold on my lips. I'm going to get a stronghold over my heart. I will praise him. I will praise him. I will praise him on the mountain. I'll praise him in the valley. I'll praise him in the high and I'll praise him in the low. I'll praise him when I'm limping, and I'll praise him when I'm running. I'll praise him when I feel wounded, and I'll praise him when I feel full of strength. I'll praise him when I don't understand, and I'll praise him when I do understand. I've just made a decision. I'm dwelling in the stronghold. I was with some friends this week in Australia. I'm going to pray for people because we got time. Thank you, whoever looked after the time tonight. I was with some friends from Australia this week, and I went to Bible college with this gentleman. And we're just talking about, you know, the last 27 years, 1990, 1991, we went to Bible college. We're just talking about the last 27 years, and he's got two sisters. And he talked about their kids. And he said, you know, it's interesting, his older sister, who's always been a Christian, just been a beautiful Christian. He said there was a season where there was some pretty poor leadership in their church. They tried to fix it, but you can't fix things from the bottom. And so they decided, well, you know what, let's just not even bother going to church anymore till they sort themselves out. So they took a 2-year hiatus. Now, they were still Christians. They were still reading their Bible. They're still praying at home, but they just took 2 years out. 2 years out, and they decided, you know, let's just get back into sport. And so they were playing field hockey, and kids got into field hockey. Just 2 years. He was telling me, you know, it's so sad. They got three kids. The eldest daughter was a genius, and she was studying Chinese because she wanted to be a missionary to China. He says now she works for the United Nations in one of the embassies. She's incredibly bright. She's incredibly brilliant. He says, but she's not using her gifting or her training for the kingdom. She's out. The brother, the middle child, he's been living with his fiance for 6 years. He's not sure if he wants to marry her. Kind of does one day, not sure the next. So he hasn't committed, but you know, they're living together. They're trying to figure it out. But this is a brilliant young man, but not in the kingdom. The youngest daughter, who always wanted to be a worship leader, just plays in bands and does gigs in pubs on a Friday night, struggles with antidepressants. And he said, it's amazing. He said, he looked at me and his kids are on fire. He said, I'm not the smartest guy and I've made so many mistakes. He says, but the one thing that we've done is we've just stayed in church. The one thing we've done is we've just stayed in church. Listen to me. I wish I completely understood it, but there's something about that verse where it says, and David dwelt in the stronghold. Now, I'd love to tell you that I will always be perfect in my leadership, my discernment, my assessments, my judgments, and don't come to church just because pastor's got it. Come to church because this is where Jesus is. Make a decision, make a decision. Even if they leave me off the choir roster, if they didn't thank me when I was parking cars, if they forgot to say thank you for serving in the cafe or the children's church and changing diapers, and the devil will do whatever he can because he knows what happens if he can just get you out of the stronghold. But if you can dwell in the stronghold, if you can stay in the stronghold, David dwelt in the stronghold. And have a look what it says. Oh, I shut my Bible. Have a look what it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Have a look at this. It says that David dwelt in the stronghold. He built the city around it. Verse 9, so David went on and became great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. David went on. There's something about just being in the house of God. Just being in the house of God. The house of God is so powerful that the devil goes after the gifts. Do you know Whitney Houston? Before she became that woman, was a worship leader in church. Jessica Simpson, worship leader in church. Britney Spears, worship leader in church. Even Miley Cyrus had a Christian upbringing. But the devil makes sure that he'll take that gifting, he'll take that anointing. Katy Perry, worship leader in church. Take that gifting, take that anointing, and say, hey, I'll give you fame and fortune if you just stop singing for him. And if you look at their lives never go better. They find them overdosed in bathtubs. They find them dead in lonely hotel floors. They find their lives a mess with rehabs. And dwell in the stronghold. Keep your gift for God. My gift is reserved for his highest. my gift, my talent, my skill sets for His glory, for His glory. Do you think God will shortchange you? No, no. Don't live for fame. Fame, the Bible says, is fleeting. Glory is eternal. If you seek to give God glory, Jesus says that He glorified the Father, and the Father said, now I will glorify the Son. The thing about glory is God always keeps it moving. Glory should never rest. If glory rests on your life, it's not good for you. You and I can't contain the glory of God. So that's why we always give it away. Always give it away. Always give it away. The safest thing you can do. When people say, hey, Pastor, you're, oh man, it's the team. It's always give it away. Always, it'll keep you safe. Human beings, we're too fallible. We can't contain it. Dwell in the stronghold. Amen. Come on, give God a shout tonight. The Hebrew word for glory is the word chabod, C-H-A-B-O-D, chabod. It means the weight, literally the weight of God. And I just feel the weight of God. And I feel that there's a fresh anointing and there's a fresh power that's going to fall on people. I know there are a number of people here. This year you've been living under, this year you've been living on the outside of something God wants you to enter into, the ground that God wants you to take. If that's you, would you quickly stand to your feet? I'm going to pray you'll feel a weight fall on you. You feel an anointing rest on you. Tonight is your night. Tonight is your night. Lift your hands high to heaven. Lift your hands high to heaven. Father, you see these beautiful people. You see these beautiful sons and daughters. And Father, I prophesy and I declare the anointing of God, the power of God rests upon them. Young Mr. Smith, I see the anointing on you. In fact, I see the call of God on you, young man. I see God equipping you, God empowering you, God training you, and I see you're going to be a powerful minister for God, powerful minister for God. And God would just say to you, the devil's a liar. He's trying to tell you God doesn't have your best, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a future, whether it's financial, but the devil's a liar. God doesn't just have a girl, He has the. God doesn't just have a, He has the future. God knows how to take care of His own. You can trust God, you can trust God, you can trust God. Father, you see these hands lifted. Father, I thank you for the Lannings. I got to tell you, Randy Lanning, I am so proud of you, buddy. You and your beautiful bride. And the Lord would say, you are enjoying an incredible season in the world of success. And the Lord just says, there was a season where the Israelites had to take their tools down to the Philistines to sharpen their axes and to sharpen their... That's all that's happening. God's just allowing the Philistines to sharpen what God is going to ultimately use for you to take kingdom territory. Don't say goodbye to the dream. Don't let it go. Just put it on the shelf. God is watching over it. God is guarding it. God is protecting it. But right now, this is a season where you're learning management. This is a season where you're learning leadership. It's a season when you're learning authority and delegation, the ebb and the flow. It's a season where you're learning being a provider and provision. It's a season where you're learning how to nurture and care. It's a season where you're learning how to discern between productive and unproductive people. This one we got to let go. This person we got to move. All of these things is just God sharpening you, sharpening you. Father, I thank you for the hails. And I see the power of God on you. God hasn't just brought you from Chicago to San Diego because of a better climate, physically and spiritually. He's brought you here to plant you because there's fruit. There's fruit. There's fruit. There's fruit. There's fruit. And the fruit comes from being planted in the house of God. But watch this. The fruit has nothing to do with your previous planting. The fruit has nothing to do. The devil's a liar. He wants to tell you that your fruit is barren because you've been uprooted. The devil is a liar. God has brought you together. God is planting you here, and He's planting you in fertile soil, and the fruit is going to overflow. The fruit is going to overflow. The fruit is going to overflow. In fact, it's going to even exceed your expectations. It's going to exceed your beliefs in yourself. It's going to exceed even the dreams that you had that you almost gave up on. The Lord will say, do not give up on them. I have not given up on those dreams. I gave you those dreams knowing the frailties of men, knowing time and space, knowing choices and decisions. I have not given up, and I'll bring them to pass. I'll bring them to pass. Father, you see these beautiful people. Gary, who's heading up. Father, I just pray right now that your hands on him, even now, in Jesus' name. Lord God, is he... Brian, I'm calling you Gary, Brian Seal. I'm wondering why there was a block. He goes like, you called him the wrong name, Brian Seal. I tell you, God is going with you. God is going with you. I'm going to pray it's a season. I'm going to pray like a boomerang, you come back. But it is a season, and you are going there, and you're going to be a blessing. You're going to be a blessing. You're going to be a blessing. You're going to be... God is with you. God is with you. God is with you. He's with you and he's for you. He's with you and he's for you. All right, come on, lift your hands one more time. I got to pray. Say these words. Say, Heavenly Father, I declare your word says the greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Your word says that if God be for me, who or what can be against me? This night I make a decision. The devil's voice is not the final voice. It is not the loudest voice. Your voice, the voice of your word, is the final in my life. Tonight I thank you that a nevertheless spirit rests on the inside of me. I thank you tonight that I am a whosoever, that whosoever believes. Tonight I believe, Lord God. And I thank you tonight. I'm going to dwell in the stronghold. And I'm going to prosper. And I'm going to be strong in Jesus' name. This is my year. This is my year. Come on, give God a great shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just grab a seat for a second. Scott and Ange Oxney. I don't normally do this, but if you don't know this couple, this is the Oxneys, him and his handsome son Jackson. Although Jackson, you did have to carry Dad, really. They just won the a golf tournament out in Colorado. They're just such a magnificent family. But I even just heard God say, hey, prophesy over Scott and Ange. And God would say to you, the enemy has come to you, Ange, and he said to you, be measured in your dreams, because if you're measured in your dreams, you won't ever have to deal with disappointment. And God would just say to you, dare to dream, dare to believe. God is taking the Oxneys, the whole family, into another chapter, into another season. Get ready. Even over your life, you know, Scott, there's been such a beautiful blessing of success. But I see God is moving you from success to significance. He's not replacing success. He's just adding to success significance. And everybody that knows you loves you guys. You guys are just beautiful people, awesome people. But I just see God adding some real divine purpose and real divine connection, and there's a release. And just the season you're about to go into, Scott, is from success to significance. You're going to make significant impacts and have a significant influence. And people are going to say 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, you know, there was a man sent by God. His name was Scott Oxney, and his beautiful wife, Ange Oxney. And they came at this time, and they did this, and they did that. And the next season is from success to significance. So just so proud of you guys. So proud of you. Come on, how many people know God is good? We're going to sing in a minute, I promise, I promise. The last thing I need to do is I need to give people an opportunity. If your life's not right with God, friend, tonight would you do that? So would you just close your eyes and bow your head? If tonight, for whatever reason, if you're not walking with God, if you've drifted from God, if you're disconnected from God, friend, would you let me pray with you tonight? 32 years ago on a beach, I gave my life to Jesus. Honestly, my life was such a mess. It wasn't that big a thing, but because I realized, man, this is a mess. In fact, if I was honest with you, I was embarrassed to give to Jesus because of what a colossal wreckage I'd... But 32 years later, I've made the decision that I'm keeping my life in his hands, because ain't nobody can do with damaged goods what he has done. The greatest decision you'll ever make is giving your life to Jesus. And if you've never done that tonight, I want to invite you and encourage you to do that. So while every head is bowed, every eye closed, if you've never done that, or maybe you once did that, but you took your life back because you're not walking in His ways, you're walking in your ways. You'll always know when you walk in your ways because it never satisfies. The Bible says His paths drip with abundance. So if that's you tonight saying, man, I need to come back to God, or I need to give my life to God, while every head is bowed, every eye closed, would you quickly raise your hand? Say, Pastor, that's me, and I'll see your hand, and I'll pray for you as we close this service. Thank you, young man, I see your hand. Who else is there? Quickly, would you raise your hand? Love to pray for you tonight. Thank you, sir, I see that hand. Who else is there? Thank you, over there, I see that hand. Is there somebody else? Would you raise your hand? Thank you, sweetie, I see your hand, beautiful. Is there somebody else? I feel like there's one or two more that I'm waiting on. I want to finish with strong with a song, but I just feel like there's somebody else. Who is that one? Quickly, would you raise your hand? Right now, God is tugging on your heart. You once walked with God, but you slipped away. God is saying, it's time for you to come back. You're like, man, I'm halfway. And God say, come on, come all the way, come all the way, come all the way. Who is that one? Who is that one? Thank you, I'm there on the side. No, there's still someone else. I can feel it. There's still somebody. Who is it? Come on, just give in, give over. Thank you, sweetheart. I see your hand. Anybody else? I am out of time and I need to pray. Is there anybody else? Thank you, sweetie. Thank you. While every head is bowed, every eye closed, let's say these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father. Come on, everyone in the building. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight that you so love me. You sent Jesus Christ, your only Son, to die on the cross for my sin. Lord Jesus, thank you that your sacrifice washes away all my sin, all my guilt, all my shame. Tonight I am forgiven. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home from this moment forward. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.